Well, happy birthday to St. Faustina. He was born on this day in 1905. And couldn't wait to go to Mass. I couldn't wait to pray my chaplets. I prayed a few already. I'm going to pray a few more today. And I get to pray one with you right now. So can't wait to do that, all right? If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on the air. If you have a need, if you have a want, if you have a desire, if you are stressed, overwhelmed by your circumstance, if you just can't pray, we'll be here for you. St. Faustina wrote in her diary, she says that that her mission would continue after her death. She promised she would not forget us. You know, I remember one of the great Marians there telling me that, I think it was in the very early part of her diary, in I think section 31 or something like that, where she was given by God the ability to distribute graces to whom she was, to whom she interceded for. So let's ask her intercession. Let's turn to her right now. I know she is praying, and she said that she would do so. She said that her mission would only begin. I mean, she was this great apostle of mercy, this great secretary of God's mercy. She suffered and prayed and prophesied and had these incredible gifts. And yet she said her mission would only begin. She gave us divine mercy, that she would pull aside the veils of heaven so that we would not wound with our distrust the most sacred heart of Jesus. So please do not distrust God's goodness or his promise or his help. Know that he's with you, that he's got something great in store for you. I'm trusting for something right now, personally. And I told the Lord I'm going to trust on it. And I want you to surprise me. I'm asking him to show me. I can't wait to share it. But, you know, I'm going to trust in the Lord for the things I pray for, and I hope you'll do the same thing, and together we'll pray together. So we'll turn to St. Faustina. I want to share a quick intention here. First, to say thanks for what you do. Could you pray the chaplet for 29-year-old Patrick? He is physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually broken. His health is failing, and he's been for 15 years addicted to pot. He's depressed, and he doesn't believe in God. And I was praying and asking God to reveal himself to my son. I think once he sees him, he cannot look away. Would you please pray for God's love and light to fill every corner of his heart? All things are possible through him. And I will pray for you and for yours. Thank you very much. I'll keep your name anonymous, but I will be praying for your son. When you pray for my children, I'll pray for your children. And take comfort and hope. And I hope you take this seriously. I really believe this prayer that we pray for the conversion of our loved ones, our children, our spouses, our siblings, our parents maybe, whoever it might be, God hears this prayer of conversion. We're going to celebrate the great Feast of St. Monica coming up and the Feast of St. Augustine later in this week. They're perfect examples of the power of not just trust and prayer and persistence, but of God's love and his mercy. I'm joined right now by Preston, my colleague, and he was at our side all throughout the pledge drive. He was crunching those numbers almost by the minute for us, keeping us appraised, and what an incredible pledge drive we had. Preston, thanks for what you did behind the scene. Good to pray with you today.
Yeah, it's a joy. It was an amazing drive, and thank you to all those listeners out there who donated.
Yeah, no, it's incredible, and what a great hour. Thank you, everyone, during this hour who supported the message of divine mercy. I mean, this is just a spectacular hour of generosity and love and mercy. And I ask God to return your generosity many, many times over. Hey, Preston, anything you want to pray for or lift up?
Yeah, I'd like to pray for my uncle. He's got stage 4 brain cancer, and he's at a point where they're going to stop treating it. So I just want to pray for him. And I just wanted to echo again what you said in the intro, how today is just a powerful day for the chaplet. Normally, it's not a part of my morning prayer, but I was called to just pray it this morning. Right. And then I found out it was St. Faustina's birthday. It's like God wants this prayer to be said today. So,
you know what I love about that, Preston? You are receptive to that grace.
Yeah, I prayed it this morning.
I love it. I love it. You know, it happened to me a couple nights ago. I was woken up in the middle of the night out of my sleep to pray for somebody. And I thought, this is so weird. Why am I praying for this person? But I responded to that invitation. And the next day I found out they were in a really troubling situation and they needed prayers. So, you know, I love that. What a great witness you have there for praying the chaplet. I'm going to pray a few more, so I'll remember your family in my prayers too, Preston. Let's pray right now. Maggie is going to be sharing a couple intentions that have come in as well on our Twitter account at Drew Mariani Show. You can post them there as well and into our inbox here at drew@relevantradio.com. But if you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. And I want everyone who has written to me, if you have written to me, I read those emails, and I can't always respond. I get a lot of them, but I read them, and I pray for them. If I sat down at night and answered every single email that came in, I would be just swamped. I wouldn't have enough time in the day to do that, but I read every one of them. I know that you're being prayed for, so if you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on the air here, too. And let's start today in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Marie is joining us there. Marie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Not only Faustina's birthday, but it's Our Lady of Częstochowa's feast day.
Yeah, good call.
It's a big day in Philly.
It is.
Our archdiocese was our shrine.
I love that shrine.
And I just like to pray for my brother. It seems that when he gets better in the hospital, there's always a setback. Mm-hmm. He's had a valve, a colon removed,
wow.
And now he needs a pacemaker and a bypass. And my brother, he just needs a miracle because he doesn't deserve all this. I mean, he's a hard worker all his life. And I just want him to get better. I just want him to get better. Please, Sister Faustina, help my brother.
Oh, you break my heart, Marie. I know she hears your prayers. I know she hears your prayers. And your brother is so fortunate to have a sister that loves him as much as you do. You know, life is a struggle. You know, we're not to fear, right? We're to put our trust in God, to lean on him. That's what Faustina was told by the Lord. She says, you know, the Lord told her, I'm always supporting you. So lean on me as you struggle and fear nothing. If you are suffering now and you are listening to me, you know, you could be so meritorious. You could be so great. Faustina reminded us over and over again of the value of suffering. And she said, one day we'll know the value of what we're going through, whether you're having migraines or arthritis or you're suffering from cancer, whatever the ailment is you're going through, you're not well, you're battling COVID. One day you'll know the value of your suffering, but then we'll be no longer able to suffer. She says, if you only knew how the suffering soul is loved by God, if you knew that, if you could experience how much God loves the suffering soul, you would die with excessive happiness. I know that's easier to hear than to embrace, especially when we are suffering, but let it comfort you as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Maria. She's in Orland Park, Illinois, praying with us. Good afternoon, Maria.
Hi.
Thanks.
I'd like to thank you for, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like to pray for my friend Lois, who just found out yesterday she has stage 4 lung cancer.
Wow.
She introduced me to Divine Mercy. She's a saint. She's a wonderful person. And please, dear Jesus, heal her.
Well, Maria, I am glad you got through. I feel today such an extraordinary day. I do. I know St. Faustina is interceding powerfully for us, part of the great communion of saints. Today is her birthday. Let's entrust your friend with stage 4 lung cancer. We see stage 4 and we think death, don't we? It's terrible we make that connection. God is greater than cancer. And I have seen people who've been diagnosed and given very bad news up and about and completely to the bafflement of doctors. God can reverse health. He can heal instantly. He can cure. He can vanquish cancer. Lord, I don't know what your will is. And I know so often you allow us to be purified. You allow us to suffer. And this may be the doorway to eternal life with you. I just ask for the grace to always submit myself to whatever your will is. I pray that for those who are praying with me, that we may discern properly your will and obediently follow it. But I also pray for miracles. I asked you for those earlier today, for those who pray with me, and I just ask that you manifest your love, your power, and your mercy in very visible ways as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Maggie, you're monitoring Twitter, right? And a few intentions coming in as well. What can we pray for?
Yeah, we got a call this morning from a listener whose nephew is in the ICU with severe diabetic complications. And they're saying it's not looking good. And this nephew and his wife are expecting a baby in 2 weeks. Let's pray for healing for this young man. Marilla is praying for healing. She's going through renal failure right now. Emily is praying for anyone that's working to save lives and changing minds about abortion. Manny has tested positive for COVID and is battling through those symptoms, and he wants to pray for anyone that is suffering from anything COVID-related. Jeffrey is praying for purity and wisdom for all of his family and friends. Mary's praying that their condo sells. And Rita is asking for prayers for her son. He needs healing from a spine injury, and he's on opioids, and she's kind of worried about him.
Wow. Some heavy crosses. Lord, we ask for your mercy. And let me bring in to this conversation, this decade as well, Barbara. On our third decade, she's praying with us in Illinois. Hi, Barbara. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. Thanks for reminding us every day that Jesus loves us and walks
Amen.
With us.
Amen.
I would like to ask for healing for my grandson, Nicholas. He's 18, and he has type 1 diabetes, and he has COVID, and he has pneumonia, and they're admitting him now. And prayers for healing for him, but comfort for his mom, Laura, because...
Yeah.
Nobody can be by her because she's been taking care of Nicholas and for Nick's twin brother, Anthony, and his little brother, John, so they won't be scared. Please.
No. Let's,
thank you.
You
got and for it. All the people who didn't get to call in.
Yes, that's a sweet intention. Thank you very much, Barbara. And I want to pray for you. I know you didn't ask for one thing. So I ask God really to bless you. He knows your needs and he knows your heart. And Lord, I just ask you to bless Barbara. I do pray for all those who've called in that may not make it to air, those who've written, those who are united with me wherever they are, that today especially supernatural grace flow that miracles abound, that blessings take place, that providence is poured upon those in need. Lord, I pray for miracles in every area of life and relationship and of health and of finance, and just give you your children. We pray now, Lord, as we turn to you with these intentions that have been voiced, we trust, we pray, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Paul listening to us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing? Thanks to you for taking my call. And my intention, again, is so doctors can restore my eyesight, please.
Paul, yeah, let me just say something to you, brother. I love you. You know why? You are so persistent with your prayer. I have great confidence God's going to hear your prayers. I really do. You keep praying, okay? You keep praying and keep calling us. Paul's a man who recognized the city and his name. For some reason, sometimes I remember certain callers. For months now, maybe even longer than that, maybe even years, Paul's been asking for God to restore sight. And I just think of a scripture. Think of, you know, how many souls would, you know, come up to Christ with that persistence, and he would certainly lay his hands on them and heal them, right? I think of the scripture, you know, how about the woman knocking on the judge's door in the middle of the night, and how many times scripture tells us about the power of persistence in our prayer. Paul and anyone who might be suffering right now, St. Francis de Sales, the gentleman saint, right? He said, the prayer of the sick person is his patience and his acceptance of his sickness for the love of Christ. And I know you've been bearing this cross a long time. The prayer of the sick person is his patience and the acceptance of sickness for the love of Christ. He said this, and for anyone who's suffering right now, one kernel of wisdom from this great saint for you, make sickness itself a prayer. That's what he said. Make it a prayer. For there's none more powerful save martyrdom. That's St. Francis de Sales. Lord, I give you our sicknesses, our crosses, our troubles, our anxieties, our woes, the travails and tribulations that we have to carry. And I give you those who've asked us to pray for them. I thank you for this special day and the gift of St. Faustina, and most especially for your mercy. I give to you now the needs, the wants, the desires, the crosses of all those who are crying out to you. And with deep love, confidence, and trust, I pray, eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Bakersfield, California next. Charlie is praying with us there. Hi, Charlie. Good afternoon.
Hello, sir. The reason I'm calling is my little town right up from Bakersfield is under evacuation orders. Yeah. And the town I'm in is under an evacuation warning. So I'm asking prayers to end this fire. And protect the firefighters, the emergency crews, the folks that have been evacuated, and the ones that have lost their homes and possessions. Western Nevada has fires. Northern California has fires. Yep. And now this central fire called the French Fire.
Yeah, it's terrible. Charlie, thank you for praying. You hang in there. You know what? We're going to pray for divine protection over your home. We're going to pray for rain. We're going to pray for an end to this fire. Lord, you're in control of all of nature. You are the author of the laws of nature. And I just ask that you give protection to Charlie in this hour and to all those who are in threat of danger. I pray for those who have lost homes and loved ones due to the flooding throughout this country, the wildfires on the west, the natural calamities that threaten us. And St. Faustina prayed storms away many times. And Lord, right now I just ask for your mercy on this country, that you protect us from degeneration, disaster, from disease, from war. And I ask you to bless and protect our country. Hold back your hand to justice. We pray for the conversion of our leaders and other world leaders. I pray for the situation in Afghanistan. I give you Charlie's plea. And I thank you, because I know you hear these prayers. I thank you as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Spiritual director of Saint Faustina, Blessed Michael Sopotchko,
pray for us.
Yeah, vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina's canonization, Father Seraphim Mykolenko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Preston, for praying with me. And thank you very much for praying with me. I tell you, it's an extraordinary prayer. I feel the Holy Spirit so powerfully in this studio, and I just know God's grace is pouring out, that there are great things that are happening right now. Continue to pray, continue to persist, continue to have your faith, continue to trust. And when God resolves that situation in a way that's so perfect, and so according to his will, make sure you let me know. All right, Drew at RelevantRadio.com.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit RelevantRadio.com/Forester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's so good to be with you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for praying with me. Please do me a favor. Tell others about the Chapel of the Divine Mercy. Share it with just one person. That's all I'm asking. Just turn one new person onto it. And I tell you, lives will be changed. Prayers will be answered. Today, of course, we celebrate the great feast of St. Faustina. I just love her so much, and she's such a powerful intercessor. And I know she had promised to continue her mission. She died. She suffered. Man, she died from tuberculosis. She suffered the greatest of pains in her life as a mystic. She well, I won't go. I don't want to go down the whole St. Faustina path right now because I want to talk about something else. But I just let me say to you, turn to her today. I think today's her day. Today, she'll take your intention before the merciful Savior, before our divine Lord, and really intercede for you. She promised she would do that. She says, when I die, you know, my mission will only then begin. When God calls me home, I'll pull aside the veils of heaven. So, you know, doubting souls will no longer wound with their distrust the most sacred heart of my Lord. Paraphrasing that, but those are her words. That's what she said. So let's call upon the power of her intercession on a day today. We thank God for her birth. My next guest is a man who will be joining me in a minute, Dr. Robert Tabali. I know you know him. I have a lot of respect for him, too. I mean, he's involved in a personal ministry. He's creating a shrine, and you know, we're not here to talk about it today, but I just want to tell you what's going on with him. I'm going to ask you for prayers for him. You know, he's a physician, very gifted infectious disease doc, and he's been a great contributor to this show throughout the pandemic. We relied on him in great part for a lot. So he felt this interior call to create a shrine dedicated to mothers who lost a child. It could be through miscarriage, it could be through abortion, it could be through whatever means it may be. And the attack that he has been under, it's been absolutely demonic. And I've spoken to him many times about it because I've seen it. When I've produced documentaries that I know would go out and spread Marian devotion, the demonic attacks, the division from everyone from colleagues to coworkers to strangers, unbelievable. Lawsuits and all sorts, it was insane. I saw that with so many of the projects I was involved in. And Faustina often recorded. She said, you know, the more beautiful the work, you know, if God's going to use that work, the greater the storm that will rage against it. So if you are in the fight for life right now, you are in a ministry that's maybe out there trying to help pregnant mothers. Maybe you're out trying to help men and women to find their vocation. Maybe you're helping the elderly. Maybe you're in hospice. Maybe you're like Dr. Tabali building a shrine, and you see this division, this attack on your family. You see this attack on yourself personally. Rejoice in that moment. Know that God is working through you, that great things, great fruit will come from the seed that has been planted and watered by your suffering. I mean, I believe that so adamantly. So if you could do me a favor, say a prayer for Dr. Tabali. I mean, say a prayer for this ministry that God is calling him to. As I said, he's a very gifted physician, he's got a great story to share. One day I'll get him on to talk about it. And sometimes you go from great success and lots of money to nothing, you know, and sometimes God builds us up even stronger in new ways. I think about Job, right? Think of what God took from him. I've seen it. I had multiple houses and all sorts of things. And when God wanted to take me out of the career I was in, he took it all from me, you know, and here I sit today being a broadcaster. Could not be happier being with you every day. That's just a little tangent. I didn't mean to go down that path, but I just, you know, I was talking to Dr. Tabali off air, and I want you to say a prayer for him. Sometimes, you know, the communion of saints, you know, sometimes our united prayer for one another can really make a difference. You know, boulders get moved from the path, doors open, prayers get answered, you know, inspirations come. So great things happen. So we do want to talk about a couple things today. I want to talk with you, and you're more than welcome to join me. I'm going to give you the phone number. It's 888-914-9149. I've been trying to be very objective, and I've been trying to give you accurate information when it comes to COVID-19. As we shared earlier, the FDA granted final approval for the Pfizer vaccination. That happened earlier in the week, and as a result of that, as I shared before, you know, military personnel, a lot of people are going to be mandated to get the vaccines. We're going to be talking about that coming up a little later with Dr. Joseph Meany. But there's a lot of questions that are now arising. I saw a headline earlier today about the CEO of Pfizer. Might have the Pfizer vax, right? The headline grabbed my attention because it says the Pfizer CEO predicts vaccine-resistant COVID-19 variants likely to emerge. Some people are saying, why do I get a vaccine for it? Well, we'll talk about that today, too. I don't want to poo-poo the vaccine. I know some people are totally pro-vaccine. Other people are diametrically opposed to it. There's another study done. They looked at Pfizer, AstraZeneca, And they're finding that the efficacy of these vaccines seem to fade. And, of course, there's lots of new variants. We might see even more of these. So what do we know? How will this virus evolve? COVID-19, why is the effectiveness, is it dropping? And should you worry about a breakthrough infection if you are vaccinated? These are important questions. We're here to help you with it. If you want to join us, the number 888-914-9149. I know the phone lines often fill up very quickly, and if you have a question, I'll try to get to you. But I'll give you a little background here, and then we'll bring Dr. Tabali on to talk about it with you. As I said, I've been monitoring this, trying to be as objective and as informed as I possibly can, because this affects me and my family just as much as it affects you. When the FDA gave the approval to the Pfizer vaccine, a lot of people rejoiced that they thought COVID numbers and vaccinations were going to increase. I'm not quite sure what that means for Novavax. Dr. Tabali has been waiting for that vaccine. He says he thinks that if this gets green-lighted, Pfizer does, it may be a longer course before Novavax ever comes to the front. So we'll talk about that vaccine as well. But as the vaccines are being pushed, you're going to hear more in the next hour a little bit about the mandates that you're going to have to encounter as well. But I'll give you a couple numbers here. One study that I read just a couple hours ago, said that the Pfizer vaccine was about 91% effective at stopping the virus from infecting people. But now with the advent of the Delta variant, that efficacy has dropped almost by a third, 66%. Okay, another study showed that it dropped to 74% 6 months after people were injected. So this is why the CDC is pushing for people to get that booster shot starting next month. You got to have to be at least 8 months out from what I understand, or you have to be a certain demographic. But one professor of epidemiology at the King's College in London said this. I want to quote him. He said, quote, "In my opinion, a reasonable worst-case scenario could see protection fall below 50% as healthcare workers approach winter." 50%. You know, one out of two shot that vaccine will be effective. The media, of course, is reporting that breakthrough infections, meaning people who are fully vaccinated, are still getting infected with COVID. That was the case with Jesse Jackson, right? And his wife, they're fully vaccinated, they had it. I think Governor Abbott was also vaccinated. He had a very mild case of COVID after being vaccinated. The media is saying they're rare. Published by the CDC, they found that these breakthroughs make up a quarter of all the cases in Los Angeles County last month, a quarter of them. That left 75% of the cases among the unvaccinated. One other study here, and I know I can inundate you sometimes with too many numbers. Another study found that those who are unvaccinated and who came down with it, you're 29 times likelier to be hospitalized. So let's say I find that fascinating. Of course, the Pfizer CEO, as I said, at some point, you know, these variants might escape the protection of these vaccines altogether and what they offer. He said that they do have a process in place where they can make variant-specific vaccines within 95 days of identifying a new one. We're on this new frontier, aren't we, where with mRNA technology, they can target this, go in, create that vaccine, and hopefully protect the population. A lot of people concerned about it. There's a lot of stuff floating around on the web. I'm not the expert. Dr. Robert Tabali is, and he joins me right now. We'll take your calls and questions, and we'll try to answer some of these very important questions. Doctor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew, and I've got two major points I want to discuss with you.
Sure.
Which are very disconcerting, very, very disconcerting about this.
Yeah, please.
The first being, the Pfizer vaccine was actually not a Pfizer vaccine. It's a BioNTech, which is a biotech, small biotech company in Germany.
Wow.
And they're the ones that developed the messenger RNA vaccine. They partnered with Pfizer in order to produce it, get it through appropriate regulatory agencies, and market it. So Pfizer is kind of like the brawn, and BioNTech is the brains.
Mm.
Okay. So Pfizer has an application before the FDA, and the FDA on Monday issued two letters. One letter said, "We approve the BioNTech vaccine,"
mm-hmm.
Full approval. And the second letter says, "We are continuing the emergency use authorization for the Pfizer vaccine."
Wow.
So I don't know if you understand what I just said.
Yeah, I'm trying to follow that. So can you break it down, make it very simple?
The Pfizer vaccine was not approved.
BioNTech was.
Was approved. However, it would be a BioNTech branded vaccine, which there's not a dose been used here in the United States.
Okay, so stop on that point then, because I'm trying to learn and follow this as well, because I think that's really an important point. So you're saying the BioNTech vaccine, not a single dose has been distributed here in the States, and yet they've partnered up with Pfizer? I thought Pfizer and that company were together in the development of this, and that's what Americans are being vaccinated with, this particular mRNA vaccination. So what are people getting if it's from Pfizer, and how likely, and let's pick it up on that point. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself.
So BioNTech is a development lab. Yep. It's common in the pharmaceutical industry for small labs to have a major discovery,
right,
and then to partner with a big company to actually make, manufacture, distribute, and get through the FDA and other regulatory agencies. That's what happened here with BioNTech and Pfizer. Now, Pfizer has been distributing this vaccine with a Pfizer label on it.
Right.
And Pfizer, under emergency use authorization, they have no liability.
Right, right, right.
And what does that mean? It means if you have an adverse outcome, serious adverse outcome, you can't sue them. Okay? So what happened was the FDA, it's like Solomon's choice, you know, divide, right, split the baby in half and, right, get half here and half there.
Right.
What they did was they approved the vaccine under a BioNTech name.
Huh.
So if BioNTech ever brings that vaccine to market in the United States under their name, they will have full approval and full liability issues associated with it. But if it continues to be used and marketed under the Pfizer name with a Pfizer label, yeah, on the vaccine, there's no liability.
Wow,
issues.
That's fascinating.
And you understand that this automatically precipitated,
wow,
the administration asking to mandate. So,
wow,
so please mandate this. If you're leaders of a nonprofit, if you're leaders of a business, if you're,
right,
leaders in government, local government, mandate the vaccine. But it was a sleight of hand.
Wow.
And it's never happened before like this. It's a sleight of hand. It was a highly technical legal maneuver,
wow,
that they did. And this has many people on, you know, educated persons, you know, on the other side of the fence, very, very perplexed. Because people are going to...
No, go ahead, Dr.
People,
please,
are going to lose their jobs. People are going to lose their jobs. The Delta Airlines is charging their employees $200 a month more if they don't get vaccinated. A lot of people have a lot of concerns about the vaccine. And I believe me, the vaccine saves lives. There's no question about it.
Yep.
But I don't understand the rationale behind this, except for the fact that Pfizer will not sell any country in the world their vaccine unless they get full legal immunity.
Right.
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's a really wise thing to do from a business standpoint, but this was a little kind of, it doesn't seem right what the FDA did. Now, if they're going to approve it, they ought to approve it as it's being used in the United States, not in a manner that lifts all the legal liabilities. And under emergency use authorization, if historically the understanding, there may be some wiggle room that people like me who are not in the middle of this the type of stuff on a regular basis don't know, but the understanding always has been that if you have an emergency come up and you approve a therapy or approve a vaccination or something like that under emergency use authorization, once there's a fully approved product in that market space or in that treatment space or disease space, whatever you want to call it, that kind of rescinds the ability of other similar products to treat the same illness or the same emergency. That kind of pulls the approvals back,
right,
on those things. So it's a very, wow, very strange situation.
Yeah, that is absolutely fascinating and incredibly revealing. Doctor, thank you for sharing that. I have not heard that anywhere else. It's the first time I'm really seeing the nuance of that. I have to take a break, but before I do, you were waiting for the Novavax vaccination to come out. And you had said that if Pfizer received the FDA approval, it's more than likely that emergency use authorization would no longer apply to Novavax, and it might be a long time before that makes it to market. What are your thoughts on that? A lot of people have been waiting for that particular vaccination. What do you know, and what do you think is going to unfold?
Well, I kind of just know what I said. I don't think it's going to be approved because of the emergency use authorization issues and the fact that they have a fully approved vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, but the vaccine that they fully approved is not available here in the United
States.
That's
so crazy. That's just so crazy.
And then the Pfizer data, is going to be continued to be accumulated in, until 2023.
Yep.
So it's not like it's done. And the vaccine was approved based on data on the alpha and beta variants.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Are variants which are not out there anymore. I mean, there's probably some circulating somewhere, but yeah, those aren't the variants of concern right now.
Yeah, we're seeing efficacy drop with some of these vaccinations. I have to take a short pause. Hold it right there, Doc. We'll come back. We'll talk more. And I'll take your calls. If you're on hold, thanks for your patience. We'll grab your calls. Feel free to pull up a chair, ask your questions, share your thoughts. The number here for you is 888-914-9149. Taking a look at the Delta variant, taking a look at the ever-changing landscape of COVID-19. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining me. A lot to talk about. We're taking a look at COVID-19 and the ever-evolving nature of it. We have the Delta variant. Scary to a lot of people. It seems to spread more easily than any of the other variants so far. It's quickly becoming the dominant strain of the virus. Now competing other strains. Will it last? Will there be something more nefarious looming in the not-too-distant future? Will this Peter out. I've invited Dr. Robert Tabali, an infectious disease doctor, to join us today to take some of your calls and questions. What about that booster they're talking about, too? I want to get into that with him. But first, let me start with Jennifer. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Jennifer. You're on the air with Dr. Tabali. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hey. Go right ahead, Jen.
My question is, are there any reports out there proving that those that are vaccinated can't spread COVID, or rather, is it the fact of both vaccinated and unvaccinated individuals can spread COVID at the same rate?
Great question.
Yeah, that's a good question. So if we were talking about the alpha or beta variant, you know, that we had a year ago, then the data on those were that if you were vaccinated, there was a significant decrease, almost a complete absence of viral material in your nasopharynx, you know, your nose and your sinuses and so on. And so people were at that time that were vaccinated didn't pass the virus on to other people if they were exposed and got a low-level infection. However, with the Delta variant, that's completely out the window. People can that been vaccinated could get an asymptomatic infection with Delta and continue and have a large amount of virus in their nasal passages and their upper airway, and then pass that on. So they could be vectors or transmitters of disease. So what we thought a year ago, that vaccines would help prevent transmission. In the age of Delta, vaccines are not preventing transmission, but vaccines are significantly preventing serious illness and death. So that's very important.
Right.
But in answer, direct answer to your question, in the age of Delta, the vaccines are not preventing transmission.
All right. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I know you were holding for a while. Doctor, let me follow up on that question with the booster shot. Since Delta, the efficacy of the vaccine against this Delta variant seems to be diminishing, how important is it that Americans get the booster? I know they were talking about, you know, certain demographics might need it more than others based on your age. You had to have had the shot for at least 8 months. But what do you know about the booster? What can you tell us?
Well, the data out of Israel, they were very successful in vaccinating nearly everyone over a certain age. They didn't vaccinate children, but over a certain age, they vaccinated everybody. But recently, they've had they've struggled with the Delta just like we are. And my understanding is they've been canceling tours to the Holy Land because of it. But what they found was that the unvaccinated have a higher hospitalization rate with severe disease and death, much higher unvaccinated. But there was a difference between the recently vaccinated and those that were vaccinated more than 6 months previous. So the people that had been vaccinated, fully vaccinated more than 6 months prior to their contracting the Delta,
yep,
they were hospitalized at a three times greater rate,
wow,
with more severe illness than were the recently vaccinated people. So what does that tell us? Well, we do know that the circulating immunity, the antibodies, the neutralizing antibodies, and so on, they kind of degrade over time. They lessen over time. So within a couple of weeks of after getting vaccinated, you have very high, robust levels of those. But as time goes on, they slowly decrease over time. And what this Israeli data, and it kind of parallels what happened in Massachusetts with people being hospitalized with, right, Delta and so on, is that the farther away you are from the vaccination, the more serious your hospitalization stay can be, right, if you do get serious illness with COVID. Now that being said, everybody's got to understand that the hospitalization rates and severe illness and death is much lower in the vaccinated group. But if you split out the vaccinated people, the people that were vaccinated more than 6 months prior to getting the COVID, they have a much more severe problem with the Delta variant, right, than do the recent vaccines. Right. So what does this mean? Rubber on the road, yep, means that everybody's got to get boosters around 6 to 8 months or so. The government's saying now 8 months, because if you don't, you run the risk of actually having a significant issue with COVID.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It really is so frustrating. So many people want COVID behind them, and it seems like it's going to be here. And look, the fall's approaching. The winter's going to be here. Between cold and flu and COVID, be a lot of confusion. Chicago is on deck. Michelle's got a question for you. I think she needs some clarity. Michelle, good afternoon.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Breaking down my question, Doctor, where can we find this information about the differentiation, like the differences between the approval of the EUA and or not? And linked to that, with the other vaccines that are still on emergency use authorization, when can we anticipate those getting under FDA, to be approved again? And are any of those in a similar situation with the smaller lab and linking with them?
All right.
Thanks.
Well, that's a good question. The documents are actually at the FDA. These are things that they publish on their website. I would imagine that these findings are going to break into the media sometime soon. I don't know why they're not out there already. But we do know that sometimes things don't get investigated the way they should.
Yep.
But this is in the FDA documents that outline the approval. You can go to the FDA. I'm sorry I don't have a link right now, but you can go and read. It's highly technical stuff. But it's there.
Right.
But the other companies, I believe Johnson & Johnson developed their vaccine in-house, and the same thing with Moderna. So I don't believe that there's any potential for the, right, same type of, split between Pfizer and BioNTech.
All right, we only
and those vaccines are under consideration now for booster shots now as well, and full approval as well.
I've got to take another break very quickly here, but I want to sneak another call in. Danny's listening on the Central Coast of California. Danny, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Drew and Dr. Tavali. You characterized the extension of the emergency use authorization as a sleight of hand, and I'm wondering, in your opinion, could it also be deemed a deception? And if so, who's behind the sleight of hand and deception? Is it at the FDA? Is it Pfizer? Is it the media? What's going on?
All right, good question. Doctor, you have less than a minute, so go right ahead.
Well, in all honesty, I don't know, and it's not for me to say. It is what happened, however, and it remains for other people to investigate and see, you know, why this happened.
Yeah. All right, Doctor. Hold the thought. I hate to step on you. I've got to take a short pause. We'll come back. A lot of people on hold that want to talk to you. Our conversation with Dr. Robert DiBolli will continue. I also want to talk about what happens now that there is this approval. I know a lot of military personnel are going to be mandated to get this. What about other mandates? You know, we have to be vaccinated to fly. We'll take a look at mandates. We'll take a look at Catholics and your conscience right after this.